J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Thank you. You guys are very, very nice. I had a nice flight in. Didn't land in the Hudson or anything, but... How about Captain Sullenberger, huh? Man, a hero? But he's not allowed to think that he's a hero. That's one of the rules about being a hero. You're not allowed to think you're one. They have to ask you if you think you're one, and you have to say no. And then everything's good. You think you're a hero, Captain Sullenberger? No. I don't think I'm a hero. Good. He's a hero who don't even think that he's a hero. What a hero! All's good in the world. I think it would be okay to admit it. It was kind of obvious. Captain Sullenberger, do you think you're a hero? Yes. Did you see the footage of that plane coming in? Do you have any idea how hard that was? Wings level, nose up, tail down. I'm a hero. Because I saved everybody's life. I'm going to get a cape. I was watching the news that night, and it was amazing. They had the footage of the plane in the water with all the people out on the wings. They go back to the newsroom, and a news anchor said, "Can you imagine a better ending to this story?" Landing in Charlotte with luggage and dry socks.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
October 1, 2021, here at jcontheline.com. How you doing, kids? The big story. And I mean, this is huge. Portillo's is going to go national, and they're going to add something like 600 restaurants around the country over the course of the next 10 years. That means that everybody that goes to those Cub Cardinal weekends in Chicago, or for whatever reason goes to Chicago and just basically goes face down into a whole table full of Italian beef sandwiches and pizza and all sorts of greats. Oh, and that chocolate cake they have. Oh, my goodness. It is. I said this a couple of years ago, and I meant it at the time. I don't think I can anymore, but this was about 10 years ago, and I said I would quit my job and liquidate my assets to buy a Portillo's franchise in St. Louis because I know what the outcome would be. And the outcome would be I'd make a hell of a lot more money doing that than I ever did in radio, especially these days because the salaries have just pushed into the basement now. There's no job security. The benefits are crappy. Radio is one of the worst jobs that you can have right now. My only trepidation about the whole idea back then would be, when I was in high school, I worked candy counter in a movie theater, and we had to make popcorn. It was fresh. In fact, the machine was in full view of everybody who was trying to buy stuff. And so, you'd have 20 people in line, and then the popcorn would be ready, and you'd have to look at these people and say, sorry, you're going to be standing here for about the next 2 minutes because otherwise the smell of burnt popcorn is going to fill this entire theater, and you're not going to like that either. And you'd have to run over there, dump the popcorn up because otherwise it would burn. And then you have to put salt on it and sort of get it ready and stuff like that. And then you could go back to the counter and continue serving people who were in line. And I started out liking popcorn, and I've probably had about 300 kernels of popcorn in my life since 1968 when I stopped working at that movie theater, the Colony Theater at 59th and Kedzie on the south side of Chicago, just in case you wanted to go see the shrine they built for me there. Man, did we meet the women, by the way. Like, I had just gotten out of my freshman year in high school, and then I worked there all my sophomore year and part of my junior year. My friend from high school, Kazmir Damaluski, got me the job. And then I hired a bunch of my friends. So really, it was like, you know, spent a lot of time standing around, just sort of hanging out, trying to pick up women. And we had great ideas to pick up women, and I'm not going to share them with you. And then also, because we were juvenile delinquents, and we were, when the owner of the theater did inventory on the concessions, you can't count popcorn kernels. So what they do to determine how much popcorn you have sold and how much you need to order and stuff like that is by the boxes, because you had to build the boxes, and it just was like a boom, boom, and the box was ready to go. Depending on how many boxes you used, that determined how much popcorn you sold, and there's your inventory. Well, when you were 16, and I think they were paying us like $1.70 an hour. Actually, come to think of it, maybe it was 70 cents an hour. We were working for nothing. And you're sitting there going, well, this sucks. And somebody figured, I'm not proud of this. But somebody figured out, you know, if you go into the theater after the movie, a lot of those popcorn boxes, you know, you shake them out and they don't even look like they were used. And you can see where I'm going with this, can't you? So we started picking up popcorn boxes that had been used and then using them again, unbeknownst to the boss. Now you sell a box of popcorn with a used box. You keep the money, 100% profit. Like I said, not proud of what we did. As far as I know, nobody got sick or died. And how much did I research that to make sure I can make that statement? Absolutely not at all. Have a nice day. Now, seriously, the big story, and everybody is talking about this in St. Louis and even nationally, because you can't say something like this and not expect repercussions. Mike Shannon, who has three games left to do. Yesterday, he's on the air and says this.
The word on the street is that they're going to sell this franchise. We won't get a better duo, I'll tell you that, than the two DeWitts.
And as you might imagine, the two DeWitts were like, hamana, hamana, hob, hold, ha, hold it.
Well, I don't even know where that comes from. It's just not true. We're a long-term committed ownership group. So, you know, whatever rumor may be out there, it's just not true.
You guys are long-term committed. You don't, I mean, there's no active plan or anything like that to even look around.
No, not even a shred of a hint of wanting to sell.
So now the question is, and that was Bill DeWitt, by the way. The question becomes now, what happens next? Does Mike Shannon retract the statements? Did Mike have one too many frosty cold ones up at the broadcast booth yesterday? Let's just watch this space, okay? Watch this space. All right, now we don't have times yet, but we do have dates. So Wednesday is the wild card game against the Dodgers. That's going to be on TBS. All of the Cardinals action is going to be on TBS in the wild card game and then the first round of the playoffs. So you get the wild card game on Wednesday on TBS. We'll see what time they schedule that. But it will be played, obviously, in L.A., so it's going to be later than earlier. Let's put it that way. Then, if they survive that game, they're off until Friday, where they will begin the National League Division Series, and that would be Friday, and again, that would be on TBS. They'd also play on Saturday, and that's as far out as I have information. Couple more sports notes before we move on to other stuff. Just days before the showdown with the Patriots, Tom Brady sounds sick. Now, he's going back to New England, and this is going to be this game, this Sunday night football game, is going to get like a 40 share of the audience. This is going to be huge. And listen to Tom Brady yesterday in his post practice press conference.
I said, my throat's more tired than my arm. Imagine that.
We went through this during the summer.
Same thing. I know. It came back. I know. Very strange. Something must be a little up.
Too.
I know. I can't explain it.
So everybody now holding our collective breaths, because what a bummer that would be if you have Tom Brady returning to New England, to Foxborough, and then he can't play because he's sick. You just see the NBC Sports Network executives jumping off the top of buildings as we speak. And Super Bowl 56 takes place in SoFi Stadium. Stan Kroenke and his Dog and Pony Show, February 13th, home to the Rams and the Chargers, the halftime show. Dr. Dre, Eminem, Snoop Dogg, Kendrick Lamar, and Mary J. Blige. I don't know if that's going to upset Donald Trump, you know, because he loves the blacks. Scarlett Johansson has settled her legal dispute with Disney. Terms were not disclosed. Quentin Tarantino denying that he has a foot fetish. They asked him about rumors and jokes, and he said, I don't take it seriously. There's a lot of feet in a lot of good directors' movies. That's just good direction, end quote. Netflix promoting season two of that weird dating show, Sexy Beasts, with some less than complimentary reviews. One reviewer said it was a sign of the end times. So this couple is at a bar in North Carolina on Wednesday night, and I got this guy sitting next to him, older guy, very, very skinny. He was just sitting there minding his own business until somebody finally realized it was Mick Jagger. Nobody even recognized him. And the couple sitting next to him at the bar had had floor seats almost at the front of the stage for the show the previous night. Yesterday evening, I'm sure they're not still there now, but yesterday evening, a bunch of complete, total, full frontal nudes of Britney Spears popped up on her Instagram page. So it's not that there's some Photoshop or something like that. This is the real thing. There's about seven or eight pictures. I downloaded that quickly because, you know, stuff like that doesn't usually stay up very long. And you do have to wonder what in the hell is going on with this woman. As we told you yesterday, 4 out of 5 corks for the Many Saints of Newark, which is opening today at a theater near you and also streaming on HBO Max. It's an awfully, awfully good movie. Owen Wilson hosting Saturday Night Live. Tomorrow night, Casey Musgraves is the musical guest. As we mentioned, you got the New England Patriots hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday Night Football. Jimmy Fallon tonight is Jerry Seinfeld, Rebecca Ferguson on with Colbert. Bill Maher as Little Steven. He's a damn good interview, by the way. And, oh, by the way, right after Bill Maher tonight on HBO, they're running the Billy Crystal movie 61 about the Mantle-Maris home run chase back in the early 60s. And that's another awfully, awfully good and well-made movie. In so many of these movies about sports, the action doesn't look real. Even in The Natural, they could have had better actual baseball footage, and they didn't do it. But they have it in 61. It's one of the better baseball movies ever made, I think. And it was made for TV. It was made for HBO. And it's been around like 20 years now. But I'll tell you, if I'm just minding my own business and I'm channel surfing and I see that 61 is on, I pretty much drop whatever I'm doing and I watch it. I'll pick it up from wherever I picked it up and I'll watch it to the end. It's really good. Oh, and speaking of Mick Jagger, and we were just a moment ago, the Stones dropped another previously unreleased track this week. It's called Trouble's A Comin', and that's on the internet. Elton John released his new single, Finish Line. It's a collaborative work with Stevie Wonder. I mean, when you hear those two names working together, that's usually worth your time. Oh, and we were mentioning Seinfeld a moment ago. Seinfeld shot down any hope of a reunion, but on the plus side, all 9 seasons landed on Netflix today. This is the 4th anniversary of that crazed gunman in Las Vegas that opened fire on that country music festival for 10 minutes from the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel. 58 people killed, 800 injured in that. 46 years ago today, 1975, down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Muhammad Ali beat Joe Frazier in the Philippines, the Thrilla in Manila. Walt Disney World opened in Orlando, Florida on this date 50 years ago. Abbey Road came out 52 years ago on this date in 1969. Birthdays this weekend, everybody. Today, Brie Larson, 32. Zach Galifianakis, 52. Cindy Margolis, former Price is Right model who became the most downloaded woman on the internet for a period of time there, 56. Mark McGuire, 58. Randy Quaid, Dennis Quaid's insane brother, 71. Rod Carew, Major League Baseball Hall of Famer, 76. Julie Andrews, 86. Former President Jimmy Carter, 97. On Saturday, Tiffany turns 50. Kelly Ripa, 51. Lorraine Bracco, Dr. Melfi from The Sopranos. And, of course, Ray Liotta's wife in Goodfellas, 67. Sting, every little thing he does causes pain in his lower back. 70, Don McLean, 76 on Sunday. Nev Campbell, 48. Gwen Stefani, 52. Clive Owen, 57. See a movie called Closer, not The Closer. This is just called Closer. It's a Mike Nichols movie. It's got Clive Owen. It's got Julia Roberts, Natalie Portman. It is full of sex. It is full of conflict. And it is a very, very cool movie. Difficult to watch at times, but definitely worth your time. Clive Owen, 57. Tommy Lee, Motley Crue, 59. Al Sharpton, 67. Lindsey Buckingham is 72. Been a while since we've done any COVID news. Whole thing is a pain in the butt, apparently now, literally, because the newest symptom connected to COVID is called, and this is real, restless anal syndrome. A 77-year-old guy in Japan diagnosed with it, and it's the first time it's been linked to COVID-19. It's related to restless leg syndrome, which is when you have an uncontrollable urge to move your legs, except the urge only existed in the man's anus. He constantly felt like he needed to use the bathroom, but it never gave him any relief. The only thing that helped was exercise or moving around. He spent 3 weeks in the hospital fighting COVID, but he didn't develop a restless anus until he recovered and went home. Doctors did a colonoscopy and couldn't find a cause, so they think it was neurological, just like restless leg syndrome. This all happened last year. We're hearing about it now because the case wasn't published in a medical journal. Unfortunately, he's doing much better now. They put him on a daily dose of a sedative to help him relax and help his butt relax. And now for something completely different. Thank God. Match.com released some teaser highlights from its annual Singles in America study, which comes out later this fall, and they found sex with roommates has surged during the pandemic, especially for younger people. In the past year, 27% of Gen Zers and 33% of millennials who are single have gotten it on with a non-romantic roommate for the first time, meaning someone they live with but aren't dating. Here are some more stats on this Match.com thing. On average, single people have made out with one person in the last year, so some have made out with more than that, and some haven't kissed anybody. 47% of single people have had sex in the past year, but only 8% have had a one-night stand during the pandemic. Most single people will wait at least three dates before getting it on. 71% won't have sex before the third date, and 45% won't make out. Almost half of the single people who've slept with someone in the past 12 months say they've faked it in bed, and that's hard to believe, but more men said yes than women. 47% of men, 46% of women. Only around half of Match.com users say their ideal relationship right now would be a committed one. 27% would prefer a friends with benefits scenario. 85% of singles say sex is less important to them than it used to be. 85%! That includes 81% of men and 87% of women. Sexting has taken a hit during the pandemic, at least the photos have. A third of people say they've sent fewer nudes than they were sending before. Self-pleasuring has seen a bump. One in three people who are single say their self-love skills have improved during the pandemic. I think Woody Allen made a joke like that many, many years ago. Something about he's so ashamed and embarrassed because all he does is masturbate, but he's not good at it. 80% of vaxxed singles want their partner to be vaccinated too. 51% of unvaccinated singles say they don't care either way. But right now, vaccination status is the number one dating deal breaker. 58% of singles say whether you've been vaccinated or not is important. Politics is next at 53%. And apparently, people of a certain age are enjoying themselves quite a bit. One in eight people over 50 say they're having sex at least five times a week. 35% of older Americans are knocking boots more than ever, and not just in the bedroom. 48% have done it in the living room, 38% in the bathroom, 28% in the kitchen, 24% in the dining room. Try not to mention that at Thanksgiving dinner, okay? In general, most people over the age of 50 say they're doing the no-pants dance less than they used to. The average person says the age when they were the most sexually active was in their 30s. All right, it's the first of the month. Here are some things to look forward to in October. Lots of sports. The Major League Baseball playoffs get underway, as you know. NHL season starts October 12th. NBA starts up a week later on the 19th. Bunch of movies are hitting theaters and streaming services. No Time to Die, Dune, Adam's Family 2, Halloween Kills is the name of the movie. The Sopranos prequel, Many Saints of Newark, as we said, opening today. Some TV premieres you might want on your radar. I know some people are into that Bachelorette stuff. A lot of my female friends, and oh man, they know it's stupid and they watch all the time anyhow. Series premiere of CSI Vegas, season 3 of Netflix series You, and the series premiere of Queens on ABC. Halloween coming up, where you will, as Americans, spend $10 billion on Halloween stuff. And the CDC is basically signed off on kids trick-or-treating. And a few more holidays. Today is International Coffee Day and World Smile Day. Monday is National Taco Day and National Vodka Day. Indigenous Peoples Day is the 11th. No Bra Day is the 13th, and October 23rd is Slap Your Annoying Coworker Day. It's on a Saturday. What fun is that? You're not even at work. A lot of science and a lot of nerdology circulating these days. NASA looking for vehicles to shuttle astronauts to the launch pad, and they want private companies to pitch them ideas. So Oscar Mayer jumped on the whole Twitter thing and offered to let them use the Wienermobile. No response yet from NASA. Well, look, if Jeff Bezos can launch a spaceship that looks like a giant penis, why can't you use a Wienermobile to get the astronauts from the launch pad to the... Never mind. A study on aging found people will almost definitely live to be 130 someday, and there's a chance it'll happen by the year 2100. That means if you're under 50, you could see another century turn over if you're lucky. You've heard of long haulers, long COVID, where people have symptoms for months, but a new study found long flu also appears. It's just more common with COVID. Have you ever accused someone of cheating and they got angry at you? It means they probably did, right? Well, a new study at the University of Toronto says not so fast. People who get angry when they're accused of something are actually more likely to be innocent. And are you driving around in an old beater? If so, you're helping out the planet. A study in Japan found that even if your old car doesn't get great gas mileage, driving it into the ground is better for the environment than buying a new one. As I look back at it now, I may have had a world exclusive on the Tom Petty story 4 years ago. Is it 4 years ago today or tomorrow? Here's what happened. And it was just dumb luck. Just dumb luck. Back in my Keishi days, a photographer by the name of Terry used to hang around the radio station once in a while. She'd come in and talk to me on the show and stuff. And she, I'm not exactly sure how she did it, but the fact she was probably a size 2, but had, oh my God, just monstrous breasts. And you might think that that is distasteful, but trust me, that will work if you use it right when you're trying to get backstage at concerts or get into position to take good photographs. And she had really good photographic equipment, and she was really good at what she did. And then one day she said, you know, I'm moving to Los Angeles, and I hadn't heard from her in probably 30 years. Well, unbeknownst to me, she follows me on Facebook. And when we first got word that something of a medical nature had happened to Tom Petty, and we had very little information, I posted it right away on Facebook and said, something's going on with Tom Petty, and it sounds serious. They are saying that he was unresponsive when they showed up his house, and something is terribly wrong right now. Well, she saw that, and she sends me a note saying, JC, I know it's been a long time since I've talked to you. I'm standing in the hallway outside of his room right now. Over the years, apparently she had befriended Tom Petty's entourage and was hanging around and taking pictures, and everybody sort of knew her and was cool with her and had actually worked her way into Tom Petty's sort of inner circle. And so she told me, it's really, really bad. The consensus is he's not going to make it. And so I tried to quickly, you know, reconstruct that story, and I put all of that on social media, and people were like, how do you know? And about, I don't know, 45 minutes later, he was pronounced dead. And I know there were people republishing what I had posted, but like I said, as far as I know, we may have had a world exclusive on that whole thing. I loved Tom Petty. I just loved everything about the guy. So much so that, you know, we have a Florida home. And a couple of months ago, we were attending a wedding in southern Georgia and had to drive back to the Bay Area. And we're like, let's go through Gainesville and let's go see if there's some Tom Petty stuff, because I had heard that there's some things around. Well, it turns out that most of the stuff is in a museum downtown, not open on the weekends. So that's, I think it's open on Saturday, but we were there on a Sunday. So we went looking around, and sure enough, there's a park with Tom Petty's name on it. Very nice park. And pretty much across the street and then down the street a little bit is his childhood home. And they have a little sign. It's a well-made sign, but it's still very subtle, I guess you would say, saying this is the childhood home of Tom Petty. And the neighbors and the people who own the house are all cool with the idea that people come from all over the world, really, and sit down or squat in the grass there and have people take a picture of the house in the background and the sign in front of it. We did it too, and I put that on Facebook. And you find yourself just sort of standing there and looking at the house. Very, very modest neighborhood. Nothing fancy at all. And you just find yourself looking at the house and imagining, wow, in that basement and in that backyard, that's when the whole Tom Petty thing started. Pretty cool. I'd recommend it. And Gainesville, by the way, a better looking town than you would think. And you got the university right there, and that is beautiful. That place is gorgeous. I went to college, a very ugly campus. There wasn't anything to do but study and keep your eye on the ball because there were no distractions whatsoever. Northern Illinois University being really cut out of the middle of a cornfield. And it's so weird, if you have satellite radio, there's a Tom Petty channel, and he was playing DJ there for a couple of years. He had his own show, and they still run those shows, and you're in your car, and he still seems alive after listening to that. And the shows are so good, and he's so sort of funny and playful on those old shows, and they rerun them all the time, and I listen to all of them. And Tom, it's been 4 years, but we miss you more than ever, bud.
Waited till he finished high school. He went to Hollywood, got a tattoo. He met a girl out there with a tattoo too. The sky was the limit. To a place they both could afford. He found a nightclub he could work at the door. She had a guitar and she taught him some chords. The future was wide open. His leather jacket had
chains that would jingle. They both met movie stars, partied and mingled. They ate an arm and said, I don't hear a single. The future was wide open. Into the great wide open, under the sky so blue, out in the great wide open, a rebel without a clue. Into the great wide open, under the sky.